Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. We couldn't find anything better to do, so we're rolling out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I did mention it's Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
That, of course, means Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
I'm all right. I'm looking forward to all the ball games over the weekend, 4th of July holiday weekend. Yeah.
All right, you want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so, you know, make sure you're over there. Hopefully sometime tomorrow morning it'll pop up. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit the link. Follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And, hey, you went all the way over there. Go ahead and give it a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but I am out there at Burke Time. And, as always, feel free to shoot me an email, and I will forward it to Stu if you send any relevant information that's not dirty. So, unless he wants the dirty stuff. You know how he is. So.
I might have thought about that a few years ago. Not anymore.
All right, Stu. Well, it looks like the, I don't know what you want to call them, busybodies, you know, interlopers, I don't know, people who just don't have anything better to do are finally going to win out and get the Washington Redskins to change their name. And what's odd is I don't understand why they didn't do this when this all started. You know, instead of, I actually think they tried some legal means and they tried to void the copyright and all kinds of other crap. All they did this time was go to his sponsors. You know, they went to FedEx, whose name is on the field. They went to Pepsi and they went to Nike. FedEx was the only one, I believe, that contacted the Redskins. I don't think Pepsi made a statement, but Nike pulled all the Redskin gear off their website, so you couldn't even buy it. So all they did was hit him in the pocketbook, and he put out, Daniel Snyder, the Redskins owner, put out a statement saying he's going to have a thorough review, but basically they're going to end up changing the name. What you have to explain to me about this, and I am just totally baffled by this, I don't even believe it's a Native American group that is going after Daniel Snyder and the Redskins. It's just people with nothing better to do, I guess, would be my way of looking at it. Because, I mean, I could understand if it was a Native American group who was ticked off, but it's not. So I don't know. Do these people need jobs or something?
It's the politically correct group, which is very prevalent nowadays.
So yeah, and with everything going on, this is the perfect time to go after him. So, you know, it looks like he's finally going to concede, you know, so now I guess my question is, does this mean we have to eliminate the Braves and the Indians as well?
Of course,
or possibly even the Blackhawks?
Well, the Blackhawks doesn't necessarily have to mean I guess the Blackhawks, there was an Indian group called the Blackhawks, but is there a bird also called the Blackhawk? I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. So, but yeah, it just seems, you know, I don't know enough about it to really know if is Redskins considered derogatory? Yeah, I guess maybe it is. But like I said, I would be more behind this issue if there was a Native American group that was going after him, and I just don't think that's the case. You know, I'll have to look into it a little more. I'm not making a complete ass out of myself. But, yeah, it just seems, you know, kind of like it's people with nothing better to do. And then what I don't understand, Stu, is why didn't they think of this when they started going after him? I mean, they've been dragging this out for years. Why didn't they just go after FedEx and Nike and Pepsi before, and we could have wrapped this up years ago, and it would have been a non-story? Did they just want to keep themselves in the news so they would feel relevant?
And isn't that going to cost Washington a lot of money? Because they got to come up with a new name now, and now there's only going to be two games, the exhibition games, and what are they going to call the team? All the gear, all the memorabilia they have built up over the years. They've been around a long time, that franchise. And what's going to be the new name? Are they going to have some kind of a people calling in what the name should be, and we'll go with that one?
Yeah, well, first off, to address your first statement there, the Players Association today voted, and they do not want a preseason. So there's no guarantee we're going to get those two games like you mentioned. You know, as for the other one, my guess is they probably won't change the name this season just because of the time frame. But, you know, you've got to realize, you know, with all those diehard fans, they're going to turn right around and buy new gear. You know, if you have a Redskins jersey, you're going to buy whatever they become. I know there's been a ton of suggestions. Honestly, I don't believe any of them were very good. There was actually one suggestion that they said they should just call them the Washington Capitals. I'm under the impression whoever suggested that doesn't watch the NHL. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But, you know, it's the obvious, you know, names, the Washington Presidents, the Washington Senators, the Washington Monuments, you know, all the stuff that you just kind of associate with Washington. And I believe you can actually bet on it. I believe there's actually a betting line posted. So if you're that desperate of a gambler because you don't have sports, you can go out and bet on the new Washington's name, the Washington's new name. But, yeah, I think to expect Schneider and the team to turn everything around so quickly would be incredibly pigheaded of these people. Now, unfortunately, you know that's exactly what they're going to do. You know, they're not going to give him a time frame to get it done. They're going to say, we want it done, and we want it done right now. But that's just not going to happen. I mean, the repainting and everything and – you know, apparently this is just the new America where if you don't like history, you get rid of it.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. What about a name like, for example, the Washington Glocks or the Washington Uzis? Would that go over? Or the Washington 357?
Well, remember they changed the basketball team's name because it was the Washington Bullets. So I don't think we'll see anything like that.
You got those.
I'm also guessing they won't be the Washington Trumps. So...
No, well, let's hope not.
But yeah, I'm not sure, you know, what they'll come up with. You know, I don't know. Maybe the Washington Cherry Blossoms. Don't they have the cherry trees in Washington?
Yeah, that's right. That's a good name.
That would be a fantastic name for an NFL team, right? The Cherry Blossoms. So,
of course, the Cherry Blossoms are more known in Japan than, but Washington does have them as well.
So yeah, but yeah, well, you know, we'll see what they, you know, what they end up going with or how, you know, how they end up doing it. But yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, it's unbelievably ludicrous by what people are offended by. I don't get it.
Is this going to be the headline in the sports section of the newspapers tomorrow?
Either that or the fact that, you know, like I said, the Players Association wants no preseason. So,
well, that'll be very difficult for the players then, wouldn't it? If there's no preseason, what kind of shape would the teams be in for the first couple of games of the regular season? Wouldn't there be a lot of rust?
You know, the interesting thing about this is, normally, you know, the first couple of weeks of the NFL stinks because they're still getting ready. But what I don't think these morons realized is they just jeopardize the career of a lot of young players because these are the guys who make the bottom of the roster in preseason. And now that they don't want them to have an opportunity to go out and prove themselves, these NFL teams are going to say, okay, see you guys later. I'm sorry, we got to cut you. So they weren't really thinking this through, I don't think. And I understand, you know, they're going to claim safety measures and all this other BS that we're going to hear. And, you know, people, you know, I don't know how to break this to you, but there are going to be people that test positive for this coronavirus. There's absolutely no way around it. You know, you're not going to be able to isolate every single person. You know, it's the matter of them doing the testing like they're supposed to and catching it ahead of time so they don't have an epidemic on their hands. And, you know, for whatever reason, they seem to think that, well, we're going to do it and it's going to stop every single case of coronavirus out there. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. And if that's what you're waiting for, we're never going to have sports again, bottom line, or team sports, I should say, again. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's still a very serious situation, and it's kind of frightening to see go on day to day in some other cities. And I'm still wondering how this is going to impact the sports when the seasons finally officially start. Still has to be a matter of concern for baseball, football, basketball, hockey, call it what you will.
Well, you know, like I saw where, you know, baseball conducted all their tests and they got their results and they had 31 people test positive. And when you throw that number out there, you know, it's a little daunting. You hear, oh my God, they had 31 positive tests. It was 1.2% of the people they tested. So while, yeah, it sucks that these 31 people have it, you know, A, they caught it, and B, it's a very low percentage. So as of now, they're doing a good job on what they're supposed to be doing. You know, it's unlike the WWE, who had a whole bunch of positive tests and in reality didn't seem to care, but you and I damn well know that Vince McMahon doesn't give a crap about his employees and they're all replaceable. So,
yeah.
It depends. You know, like everything the media reports to you, it depends how you look at it. 31 sounds like a big number. 1.2% isn't too bad.
But you know that's going to go up when the season starts.
Well, maybe. We don't know. So, because I still don't think they know diddly squat about this. I mean, you know, if hot weather really does slow it down, maybe it won't, because obviously it's going to be hot for the next couple months.
Yeah, maybe that will slow things down, and maybe they will be looking at that as a potential cure for the virus, if and when a vaccine is ever developed.
Obviously a lot has to do with your personal choices, you know, on things you do. I mean, like Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys contracted the virus. Well, he was out partying with large groups of people. He wasn't staying home and self-quarantining or isolating or, in reality, just being careful. He was just out living his normal life. Well, it's not surprising he caught it.
No.
You know, that doesn't stop me at all. But, you know, he's Ezekiel Elliott, so it's a big deal. I mean, we saw all the things, you know, in Florida where they couldn't keep people off the beach. Well, now Florida has one of the highest rates of the virus in the United States. Why is that? Well, people didn't want to stay home.
And did you see the story that was circulating around the internet today about a guy who went to a party? He said he shouldn't have gone to the party. He went to the party, caught the virus, and let's put it this way. Well, he won't have to worry about going to any more parties anymore.
Oh, yeah, I saw the headline to that. I didn't look into the article, but I saw the headline. Yeah, he ended up dying, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I think the people who like to party hardy should take another look at that and think they should be a little more conservative, especially in today's climate that we're living in.
Yeah. I get it. It sucks being stuck in the house. You know, especially in weather like this, you know, you want to get out, you know, if you like the hot weather. I'm not a big hot weather guy, but You know, I get it. You're young. You want to go out. You want to hang out with your friends. Well, there's ways to do it and not be stupid. You know, you just got to kind of, you know, like I read or saw somewhere that college kids are actually having what they're calling virus parties, where they're getting together and actually inviting people who have tested positive, because now they're under the belief that it's like the chicken pox or the measles, and once you get it, you can't get it again.
Well, I hate to tell them, disillusion them, and that's been proved to be wrong.
Right.
Already.
You know, that, and why would you take your life into your hands like that, you know, because this does kill people.
Yeah, and I don't, that party doesn't seem to be make much sense to me, but maybe when you're young, that young, you think you're indestructible. And I'm wondering, though, in terms of other deaths, John, have they ever come up with a percentage of under 50, over 50, under 30, over 60? What percent of the deaths are age-related in terms of people who have succumbed to the coronavirus? Are there more older
people?
Yeah,
you know, I believe that the older you are, the better chance of you passing away from it, you know, which I guess isn't a surprise because, you know, obviously as you get older, your immune system is going to be a little weaker. So I can see how that kind of happens, but you know, I mean, to be fair, as you know, I mean, it doesn't seem to be exclusively, you know, older people who are passing away. So, they just seem to be the largest group right now. But you know, it doesn't really matter who you are. Anybody can die from it.
This guy that went to the party was not all that old. Which,
right?
You think the people look at that now and the college kids and who are doing these party thing and might step back a pace and say, hey, we should be a little bit more conservative about what we've been doing.
Yeah, you know, you would like to think that. Unfortunately, it's not true. But, you know, hey, I guess it's, you know, one of those things that, you know, hey, great, let's look at the bright side of it and hope that, you know, people were being smarter and, you know, all these other kind of things, you know, but it just, you know, we know it's not going to happen. It's just that's how people are, and you know they're going to be indignant. You know, it's just like the people you run across who, for whatever reason, can't put a mask on to walk into a store. You know, I mean, I hate wearing the damn thing too, but I'm just going into the store. It's not that big a deal. I can take it off as soon as I get out.
Yeah, it's not pleasant going into the store with the mask. That's for sure. I don't enjoy it either, but I do it.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I actually just ordered myself a neoprene one so I can get rid of the damn cloth one because I just it bothers me. So, you know, I'm going to pay, like $12 or $15 to get this mask, but I'll hopefully never need another one again. And with my luck, I'll get it and they'll get rid of the order to stop wearing them. That's just my luck. But I'm sure one of the cats will wear it or something. I'll figure it out. But,
so
yeah,
This is a lifetime mask you've got, what you're saying, is that you don't have to replace it ever?
You know, I think eventually you have to replace it, but it's good for, you know, however long, you know, and the fact that I'm not going to be wearing it that much, it should last quite a while. So.
You guys wear that at work, by the way? Does everybody wear a mask at work?
No, we are not required to wear them at work. It is your choice. So
what do you
they do actually provide.
Yeah, what about the percentage at work where you work? Would you say it's evenly divided?
No, it's less than one. There are very few people that wear them. Like they mandated the management staff to wear them, but none of them actually wear them over their nose. Some of them put them over their mouth. Some of them wear them around their neck. So, yeah, it's easily less than 1% that actually wear them. But my company's been real good. They provide masks, hand sanitizers, wipes, and spray. So
well,
they,
that's
they,
supposed to be very important. Delmas is as important as the masks. The hand sanitizer, and wash your hands frequently and use the hand sanitizer. And that's supposed to be a, almost as helpful as wearing a mask.
Yeah. So, you know, and that is my warning while we're on the 4th of July weekend, because I don't know how many people know this. When you're lighting off your fireworks, make sure you just haven't used your hand sanitizer, because you may not know this, it's flammable. So, you know, it's bad enough you're playing with fireworks. You don't want to actually start yourself on fire as well. So there's your warning from Sports Time Radio.
Yeah, that's an important warning, because as we both know, we've seen some serious injuries occur over the years with some yahoos using fireworks irresponsibly.
You know, sadly, I'm sure it happens every year, and it wouldn't surprise me if it happens in the apartment complex next to mine, because they shoot them off every night and wake me up and terrify my poor kitties. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, just a quick warning there, because I know there's a ton of people who probably don't know that hand sanitizer is flammable. So,
well, as long as your hands are dried, maybe you'll be safe. But who knows if there's any residue or not when you finish drying your hands.
So yeah, you don't know how much of it actually stays on your skin, you know, when you use it. So just like I said, a quick little warning there from us here at Sports Time Radio, because we don't have enough listeners to lose any of you. So make sure you're paying attention to what you're doing, and you know, no, don't start yourself on fire.
Yeah, I wonder how those companies in Indiana did this year in terms of their fireworks sale. They always seem to be so crowded during this time of year. I wonder if their business has gone down a little bit.
No, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it actually upgraded, since most cities aren't having anything this year. You know, I know there's a couple that are doing like virtual stuff, but you know, people seem to like to go out and do this themselves. Well, I won't be surprised if their business actually increased with people buying more.
Well, I know you're looking forward to the 4th of July tomorrow, when the neighbors will, I'm sure, will be being very exuberant about setting up their fireworks.
Yeah, well, like I told you in the email, I'm just thankful it's a Saturday. So, otherwise, yeah, it's just, you know, because I have one of those jobs, and I'm sure a lot of people do. You know, like my roommate was off today for the July 4th holiday. I was not. I am not off Monday, like there might be some people as well. All we ever get is the 4th of July. So when it's in the middle of the week, I'm getting up that next morning at like 1 in the morning to go to work. Those fireworks are going off until I go to work. So it's just the story of my life.
Yeah, since the 4th of July is a Saturday, I hope that at least they pay you guys for the, even though it falls on a Saturday, maybe
Yeah. You
get a couple extra bucks in your paycheck anyway.
Yeah, the extra day of pay will be nice. You know, I'm not going to argue with that. You know, we are so busy. We run two shifts now, Monday through Friday and Tuesday through Saturday. What I did find out today is they're bringing the Saturday people in on Monday because we're going to be overloaded with work. And since they're doing that, it's technically a 6-day for them, and they get double time. So that kind of hurt, because I won't, but – Yeah,
well,
you're in the kind of business
where it's actually enhanced. This thing has actually enhanced your business. And some
yep.
businesses are, of course, are on the other side of the spectrum are failing dismally. And I'm sure a lot of the retail stores in the malls will be gone permanently when this is all said and done and over with.
Yeah, you figure malls, you know, the malls are going to have trouble. You know, any restaurant is hurting. I know one of the guys I know from back in my wrestling career, he was working at a bar that just closed down. They couldn't hang on. You know, they tried and tried, and it just didn't work. So, you know, he's now, you know, another guy who's out of a job because of this. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's unfortunate that this is, you know, what it's, you know, going to kill off some major businesses and a whole bunch of small businesses.
Yeah, it's going to be a severe economic drain on the United States and everybody else in general, and it's going to be hard to fight your way back, even if there is a cure eventually down the line. I mean, how long will it be before you catch up to all that lost revenue?
Yes, and like you said, I happen to be on the other end of it. I'm in a business
right. That
is so busy. You know, we're working hours now. I've been there coming up on 25 years, and we've never worked this early this time of year. But we're just buried in work.
Yeah, it depends on the industry, and your industry is reaping the benefits, but others are just going belly up.
Yeah, and, you know, like I just looked out the window and the Amazon guy who delivers here was here with his van walking around just as we were getting started. You know, I see him pretty much on a daily basis now. So, you know, you got to get your stuff somehow.
Yeah, I guess it's a lot of pressure for these guys. They put a lot of hours in. There was another article about an Amazon driver who quit in the middle of his deliveries the other day and left the keys in the ignition and the packages in the van and left.
So, yeah, you know, I've seen and heard and dealt with situations like that. We had a guy who came in, got his truck all loaded up, and drove to the bar across the street, stayed there all day, and brought the truck back completely full with packages and quit.
Yeah, that pressure can get to you sometimes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's different, you know, because like what I don't think a lot of people know, when you're dealing with your Amazon, UPS, FedEx, those type of delivery guys, they're actually not only mandated to get so many deliveries done, you know, they have to do it in a time constraint and a mileage constraint as well. So it's not like they're just driving around. They need the fastest way to and from each of their, you know, each of their deliveries. You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, like, you know, I know personally the UPS guys get paid very well for it, but you know, you're looking at guys who are now working 12 or 14 hours a day, you know, and a lot of them have, you know, wives and families and young children that they're not seeing. And it, you know, cause I mean, you've heard the athletes talk about this. Well, we're going to be away from our families. Well, these guys are away from them every single day for long periods of time. I know I've got a buddy who's a driver with very small children. He sees them when he leaves for work, but by the time he gets home, they're already in bed. You know, now they've got these guys working 6 days a week. You see your kids one day a week.
Do the drivers have to program their deliveries themselves, or is it pre-programmed for them and their schedule already laid out for them when they start?
There is a computer program that handles all of that for you. It tells you what is supposed to be your most efficient way and time for you to take care of. And you know that little board you sign? It's all in there for you.
I wonder if any drivers deviate from that. And
there's
a traffic problem, and there's an accident somewhere, they have to change their route. And so that's not going to be easy, I'm sure.
No, well, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever used it, but, you know, they have like the OnStar systems or those guidance systems that give you directions. Like I have OnStar on my car, and what I learned is it's not always correct. And obviously these guys know the neighborhoods they're driving in. They know the shortest ways to and fro, as they say. So, yeah, there are times that they will deviate off their plan, and, you know, as long as it's faster, there's not an issue.
Yeah, the UPS, the Federal, the Amazon drivers, is there a huge turnover for those guys?
You know, from what I've heard, there is at Amazon. But I believe those are the guys who actually make less money. When you get a driving job at UPS, you're pretty well set. I mean, you're looking at a position that starts at over $20 an hour. And, you know, if you're getting 12 and 14 hour days, as long as you're there to make money, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So
provided you can take the pressure of the extra hours,
going to burn out, which does happen.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's just unfortunately, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, these things have to be done. You know, right now they're buried in it. So they're out there just, doing what they can. And, what baffles me is why we can't hire people. I mean, we have needed so much help for so long, and it's just so weird that people don't want to work. And I just don't get it. You know, they'd rather sit at home on unemployment or welfare or whatever they're getting to stay home instead of going out and work.
So the jobs are out there, but a lot of people aren't taking advantage of it and getting the jobs.
Yeah, where I work, the jobs are out there. They're killing for people, at just about at every level where I work. And yeah, obviously, some of them are difficult. You got to move some pretty heavy stuff or deliver some pretty heavy stuff, but you're well compensated for it. And if you stick around and, long enough to get the insurance, it's probably the best insurance out there for any company, which is about the only thing our union has been good for.
Yeah, and that's a very important benefit too, because you're laid up and you're hospitalized, and that cost can be astronomical. But if you have a great insurance plan, that's a huge fringe benefit.
So, but yeah, it's just one of those things. I understood when, at the part-time level, I can understand these guys don't want to come in because they're, it's $13 or so an hour to start. And, you can make that at McDonald's or, one of the other fast food places and not have to work as hard. But, if you've got the driving chops and you can come in at $20+ an hour, and again, with all those hours you're going to get to work, you're looking at a six figure a year job that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, I was going to say 75 to 100,000, but they can make more than that. So that being said, they must be putting in a lot of extra hours to be getting that kind of money.
Oh yeah. Well, and then they're so busy, they're given the option to work a 6-day, which is, automatic double time. So, if you'd also like to take advantage of that, and that's completely optional. It's nothing that's forced. So, but a lot of guys do that. So, nothing wrong with coming in and making $40+ an hour, is there?
No. And I could see whether they would make a 6-figure salary if they can take that grind day in, day out, week in, week out, working those 60-hour weeks. It's not easy, but if you're in good physical shape and you can get away with it.
No, and a lot of guys enjoy it, So, as weird as it sounds, there are people out there that actually like to work. And, if you get the right route, it's not so, deliveries aren't so bad.
Yeah, and how does one get a good route, though? I mean, I'm sure there's some bad neighborhoods in any kind of city, even in our suburbs. And I'm sure that drivers aren't all that comfortable making their deliveries there. But
a lot of it is hit or miss. And then, you pick your route by seniority when a route comes open. So
the incoming drivers, the rookies, have to really earn their dues, so to speak, and get the worst routes before they're finally get established and maybe get something a little bit better after a few years.
Like any place else, you start off on the bottom and you got to work your way up. You just happen to be well compensated for it.
Yeah, they certainly are. But they work hard for their money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's, not easy work. But, like I said, it just depends what you want to do, or how you want to, what your goals kind of are. And, you know, I guess if you're okay with staying at home, which, you know, I actually like to do, I just also need money, so I go to work. you kind of deal with it.
Right. Well, you can't rely on one stimulus check to keep you going a few weeks. That's for sure.
So, you know, yeah, definitely not. You have to, somehow people are getting by. I don't know how they're doing it or what's going on, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we have to keep going and be optimistic that the worst of it's over, but when I see these spikes occurring and reoccurring, I get a little bit pessimistic about getting back to what we were before, our standard of living, and it's an unpleasant pressure to be under. More so for you, of course, being that I'm retired, but it can't be easy.
No, you know, I mean, it is kind of what it is. You got to decide what you're going to do. You know, to go, you know, hopefully it works out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Well, we haven't really covered
too much
in sports, by the way. I wanted to ask you one question. I mean, were you concerned about the report of the Quintana injury today?
Yes, what, he hurt his hand dishwashing? Is that what I saw?
Yeah. That reminds me of the old Cub ball player Jose Cardinal, who seemed to get injured in the most peculiar ways, like sneezing and hurting his back and that kind of thing. And when I saw the thing about Quintana, that's the first thing that came to mind.
Well, you know, Sammy Sosa did that as well. Remember, he sneezed and hurt his back?
Yeah.
But there have been some strange ones. I think it was Corey Crawford tripped over his dog.
Yeah, that's right.
There's been a few people who have actually, you know, had things like that happen, you know, happen to them.
Yeah, well, you remember the famous ball player from the White Sox who was in the military, our National Guard, and ended his career when he blew off with a thumb, was it?
So, well, there's actually, you know, there's a guy still in the NFL, Jason Pierre-Paul, I believe he's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he was with the Giants when it happened, blew off some fingers with fireworks on 4th of July.
Yeah, we're just talking about that one, huh?
Yeah, oddly how, you know, it relates. You know, just kind of worked out that way. But yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, there have been some strange ones. I remember the field goal kicker. It was a Gramatica who hit the long field goal. I think it was going into halftime and just had you'd have thought he just won the Super Bowl for his team with the way he celebrated. And on one of his gigantic leaps up and down, he blew out his ACL.
Yeah, that's right. There have been a couple of other injuries that have happened because of excess celebrating over the years. That wasn't the only one. It's happened before.
No. Yeah, well, I remember Kendrys Morales broke his ankle jumping on home plate after hitting the game-winning grand slam.
Yeah, that's very, very strange injuries over the years and some of these guys. And, of course, Quintana's was a strange one. I mean, I don't see how he can injure his thumb doing the dishes, but I guess that's what happened.
Yeah, well, I remember, just because it's Nolan Ryan, and I've always been a Nolan Ryan fan, I remember he had a weird one where, you know, if you know anything about Nolan Ryan, he's a Texas guy, so no surprise to find out he's a hunter. Well, apparently on one of his hunting trips, he got bit by a coyote. So, you know, that's kind of an oddity there. That, you know, just kind of like, oh, okay. So,
yeah, that's strange because usually the coyotes are afraid of man, They usually attack a smaller prey, but maybe he was inadvertently cornered or thought he was threatened.
Yeah. You know, and then Avi, my other Nolan Ryan story that kind of works into it, I just read something. Apparently, he threw out a first pitch, I think it was last year. Now, Nolan Ryan is, I don't know, he's probably 50-plus by now. Hit 85 on the radar gun.
Wow.
So, how'd you like to be catching that first pitch? They run you out there to, hey, you're going to catch Nolan Ryan's first pitch, and he hits 85 when you're used to those things kind of, you know, humpbacking their way into you.
Yeah, there was some strange, it's amazing that he could do that at his age, but hey, maybe make it he could re-sign with Texas as a relief pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, you know, because you got to throw 100 now to be considered, you know, as
yeah,
anything.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But, yeah, there have been some funny injuries over the years, that's for sure. And you think what happened on the field or maybe even in training some kind, in the weight room. But some of these bizarre ones are mind-boggling sometimes.
Yeah, it's just kind of odd how, you know, the weirdest little thing that, you know, you don't realize can – you know, can just kind of happen. I was trying to remember the Yankee reliever. I want to say it was, I think it was Jabba Chamberlain, dislocated his ankle jumping on the trampoline. And I actually think he was rehabbing from elbow surgery. So talk about just kind of adding it up. You know, it goes from one to the other. Here you go. You're trying to rehab, and then you hurt something else.
Now, sometimes there's in the contract, a player's contract, prohibiting these dangerous things like the trampoline, for example, and that might negate some of his salary. I don't know.
Well, I think it was part of his rehab. I think it was part of his workout, you know, trying to stay in shape while he was rehabbing from the arm injury. So, but yeah, just one of those, you know, odd situations. I guess he hit the trampoline wrong or, however that was. But yeah, that's a rough injury on the trampoline there to dislocate your ankle.
Sure. And didn't Corey Kluger hurt himself a couple of years ago? I'm trying to remember now, if he got hurt, and it wasn't a training accident. It was something that happened in his house. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong player.
No, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, there's been there's been so many of them that, it's hard to keep track of. I know you're not so much a video guy looking for certain things, but there's the one that came out, and luckily he didn't get hurt. You mentioned clauses in the contract. Lamar Jackson of the Ravens was on the beach playing some football with some guys. I don't know if they were friends or if he just got in a game or whatever. And as he was running away from them, he veered off to miss a guy, and he ran into a jet ski that just happened to be parked in the water. So imagine, and they had this all on video, imagine going to the Ravens going, oh, yeah, hey, your star quarterback's not going to play because he ran into a jet ski. So somehow he wasn't injured. I don't know how he managed that, but, luckily for him and the Ravens.
Yeah, for sure, But that would have been an embarrassing injury for sure. And, there's been some strange ones over the years.
So, yeah, the oddest one is the fact, Jose Canseco got hit on the head by a fly ball and somehow didn't get injured. The ball went over the fence for a home run, but he somehow didn't get hurt, just his pride. And that you see it just here.
Yeah, how many times have we seen that one? That was actually turned out to be a humorous home run, to say the least, huh?
So, yeah, could you imagine that? You hit that and you think, oh, well, I just flew out to the right fielder, and next thing you know, it's a home run.
Yeah. I'm sure he hasn't lived that one down, but yeah, it was a funny incident, that's for sure.
So, yeah, and, you know, what's odd that I seem to, I don't know, try to wonder here is, you know, I know there have been, I think now there's a total of 4 Major League Baseball players that have opted out of whatever season we apparently have here. But could you maybe explain to me why 3 of them are from the Washington Nationals? Now Wellington Castillo has joined Wilson Zimmerman and Joe Ross as Washington Nationals players that have decided they're going to sit out this year no matter what.
Now, are those players actually part of Washington the previous year? I know Zimmerman was, of course.
Zimmerman and Ross were. Castillo was signed this offseason.
Right, right. I'm wondering, in the case of Zimmerman, for example, is that, hey, we won it all last year. Why should I risk my health this year when I've won the World Series in the previous year? Now that I've gone to the top of the mountain, I don't have to risk my health. I'm well compensated and everything else, and I'll protect myself and my family this year as long as we won the World Series in the previous year.
Yeah, you know, I think the odd thing for me with Zimmerman is, you know, in reality, he was lucky to get a contract at all. You know, he was a free agent. There were 0 teams interested in him. To be honest with you, I'm not even sure if the Nationals wanted him back. I understand they brought him back because he's been there, I think, since 2005. And,
long time,
you know,
yeah.
they won the World Series. And, you know, obviously they got him on a really good deal. I think it was $2 million or $4 million or something, a real low money deal. But yeah, you know, like, he only played 52 games last year because of injury. He's going to be 35. This may be it for him. I mean,
right.
I don't know. You know, I would think maybe he would want to play just because I don't think he's going to get another chance. You know, like, Ross is young and he's a pitcher. There's always somebody dumb enough to bring you in, even if you can't pitch anymore. And Castillo, I think, is on a minor league deal, and he's bounced around for years, the former Cub and White Sox as well. But,
right.
Yeah, I just thought Zimmerman might, you know, again, because I'm guessing it's probably his last year, I would think he would want to play.
Yeah, but when you look at it from the point of view of he won the World Series last year, even though he was injured, and he still made a few bucks, and I'm sure he's well compensated because he's been around for, what, 12, 13, 14 years in the major leagues? Why would he risk his health? Why would he risk his health for a 60-game season?
Yeah, I guess it just depends, you know, how you look at it. But, yeah, I mean, you would think he's okay. I'm looking here. They have his career earnings at a little over $137 million. So I would like to think, you know, we're not going to be looking, you know, he's not going to be in the food stamp line. Yeah, I just kind of thought, you know, you would kind of want to go out playing. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Washington does bring him back in 2021 for a farewell tour, so to speak. But, yeah, I just thought, you know, I mean, it's only 60 games. It's going to go by really quick.
His contract,
you know,
in the
if
previous
you're
year, was it a 2-year deal or a 1-year deal for last year?
No, just a 1-year deal. Yeah, he's just signed for this year.
And he did sign for this year, and of course, under normal circumstances, I'm sure he would have played, but with what's going on, maybe it is in his best interest to hang it up. Of course, he is 35.
So,
I mean, how many more years can he go?
You know what I mean? I got to be honest with you, and, you know, nothing against Zimmerman, but, you know, between the injuries and his production dropping, you know, it's sadly, it's a business. You know, as much as it's great that he's been a national his whole career and, that's always kind of meaningful and they won the World Series. I don't know, even if I'm the Nationals, if I have any interest in bringing him back next year.
Probably not. My guess would be not. And that maybe he is considering retiring now. At least going out as a World Series champion, even though he only played a third of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, and oddly with the, you know, the designated hitter being put in, you know, for this year and what will end up being permanently, but we know it's just for this year, as they say, it seemed as though it was the perfect fit for him with, you know, with all the injuries he's kind of dealt with, you know, in his career. So, you know, and again, I mean, obviously I don't know his personal situation. Maybe he has young kids or, you know, maybe he's high risk and we just don't know about it. Maybe it hasn't been announced. But yeah, out of all the guys who kind of opted out, he was the one I was most curious about, because I'm just not sure if he's going to get another chance. And, you know, I know most of those guys like to have that kind of farewell type of season, especially when you've been with one organization for so long.
Like a farewell tour like thing, right? When you know this is last season and he gets well received going into all the opposition ballparks and receiving ovations because everybody knows he's retiring and he's been a good player for the league. Never been on any problems with him. And some players like to do that, go out in a high like that, but maybe it's just a virus. And maybe it's the right decision. Maybe it's the right decision. Would they even, like you say, if we play a full season in 2021, he may not have been back with Washington anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I you know, honestly, I think right now, you know, baseball has to, you know, they're still kind of figuring out what they're going on, but, you know, they're getting their tests out there and they seem to be on top of things. You know, I think what their really big concern right now is going to be is, you know, Mike Trout has actually come out and said that he doesn't feel comfortable with all this. And he has I believe his first child is due come August. How's baseball going to react if Mike Trout opts out and we don't have the best player in the game?
Well, when you think about it, you really can't. If he does opt out, you can't blame him. You really can't blame
him.
Oh,
no.
And we'd have to do that. Baseball will have to do without him. You know, it's one. He may be a great ball player and, as you said, the best in the game, but it's his choice and it may be the correct one for him.
Yeah, and, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, these players have to make their own decisions. You know, if they think that's what's best for them, that's, you know, that's fine. I mean, like, I'm not going to argue with a guy opting out. The only thing that it would affect me on is if he tried to use it as leverage into something else. You know, then I would have a much bigger issue with it, but you know, like I said, I mean, if you know, Ryan Zimmerman thinks it's best for him to stay home, or, you know, Wellington Castillo or Joe Ross or Ian Desmond, you know, I have, you know, as somebody who was sick for 5 weeks, I have absolutely no issue with these guys staying home.
Right. Well, do you think that as spring training starts, you think there's going to be more players who are opting out for the season?
That's what I'm kind of wondering. Are we going to start to get more players officially opting out, you know, and that's what I kind of wonder. Are we going to hear that, well, Mike Trout has decided now that he's not going to go? Cause I believe they're supposed to report today.
Yeah.
You know, I think today was supposed to be the official first day of camp.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Chris Bryant has also had some concerns because he's going to be a father pretty soon, and he's got to
right.
be concerned about the virus also. Among
so,
other players,
yeah, you know,
I'm sure looking at the pros and cons. So I think over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see a few more names added to that short list that you mentioned earlier.
You know, and I know, and it wasn't a baseball player. It was an NBA player, Gordon Hayward of the Celtics. He flat out came out and said his wife is also due. He said when they have the baby, he's going to leave the NBA bubble to go be with his wife and his young child, you know, obviously his newborn child, and then he would like to come back. So, there, you know, he just says, you know, they've got to figure out if or how he'll be allowed to come back. And obviously, I think it would be pretty crappy of them if they decided he couldn't come back. But maybe Mike Trout could do something like that where he leaves
for a week or so
to go be with his wife and newborn and then returns?
Yeah, that's a possibility. And the NBA players, I would think there's going to be a lot of reticence to some of those because they're going to be playing in Florida, and that's one of the hot spots with the spike in the virus. So they've got to be quite uncomfortable no matter how stringent the protection is going to be.
Well, not only the NBA, but don't forget that Major League Soccer is planning on playing their games there as well.
Yeah, that's another. Of course, I don't consider them one of the four major sports in the United States,
no,
but it's still a sport.
So.
Yeah, it has to be concerning. It has to be concerning for the NBA players.
Yeah. Did you see that Major League Baseball today decided that we're not going to have an All-Star game for 2020? I don't know what took them so long to cancel, but they finally decided that that's official. So
yeah, did anybody even consider that they were going to actually have an All-Star game?
I was kind of shocked when I read the news. I was just kind of under the impression that it had already been canceled.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well,
you know,
I guess
it was
a given.
When
it was a given. This is just official announcement. We all knew there wasn't going to be an All-Star game this year.
Yeah, because that's what I was like, when we plan on playing it, you're going to stop at the 30-game mark and play the All-Star game? You're going to play it afterwards, like I believe they used to do?
Yeah. Years ago, they used to play two All-Star games. And do you remember when they played two All-Star games
right.
in a season? That went on for a few years.
So, but yeah, it was just one. You know, it's that headline you read and you go, "Oh, yeah, I guess that was still scheduled." So.
Yeah. Well, you look at it and you say, "Tell me something I don't really know."
Yeah. But yeah, I guess you know we'll hear soon here, and I know I saw also that that young power hitter the Astros have, that Yordano Alvarez. Apparently, he still hasn't made it into the country. So you do have to wonder if there will be some travel issues for some of these guys.
You think there would have to be. There would, without question, there would have to be.
But, yeah, like, you know, even Dustin Baker said he can't say much because of the league rules. But, yeah, he's the only one I've heard of. But I guess we'll have to talk about that next week. All right, so we need to start the team on a roll out here. Oh, and whoever the station.